call the meeting to order. Suzanne is going, hey, Dean.
You sit next to Lynn.
Right. We have the minutes of the 7th and the 16th. Has everybody had an opportunity to look at them? Okay, I entertain a motion then to approve. Lynn, second.
Second.
All the discussion, additions, deletions, corrections, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, very good. Thank you. We'll be passing those along. We'll do resolutions real quick while everybody's chatting. You want to do that? Let's do the resolutions real quick. 373, approving the execution of the contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County of County Economic Development Alliance, Inc., Department of Planning. Motion, Mayor Beth, second. Jim, okay. Discussion? If none.
That's one question.
Okay.
At the last meeting, didn't we say we had a presentation? That's why we're having an early meeting today?
Yeah, that's why the two individuals are sitting here, yes.
Okay, three, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So don't we do that before we vote on it?
Yeah, you can if you want, but that's why I brought it up that way. So why don't we have that as part of the discussion, the presentation? Okay, so with that being said, yeah, we're going to hold on the vote. Part of our discussion is... will be our presentation by Suzanne and okay.
Hi.
Hello.
So
can everybody hear her? Are you good the way it is?
I had done a presentation at the Green Committee, so I didn't come prepared to do a presentation. I came prepared to answer questions.
Hello.
I didn't get that communication at
yeah.
all. They were at
Raven. Okay, I'm right in the middle of the meeting. I'll have to call you back later. Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Here's what happened to Josh.
And nobody told me to invite him.
Oh, because he was supposed to be here.
Yeah.
He's part of our guest presenters.
I could talk to everything that Turkey Media has done to date. You could all have in front of you a breakdown of the contract expenses, which breaks down Turkey Media, their monthly fees, plus the other expenses that were incurred. They're under the contract preparing four brochures for us, an external brochure, an internal brochure, a fact sheet, and a brochure just for the IDA. Filming a video right now that will go on the website to entice businesses to come to Ulster County. And they're also doing an ad in Site Selection magazine that will be filed. The target site selectors whose job is to bring businesses, find appropriate locations for businesses, and then we will be renting a list from Site Selector magazine to do two mailings to that group as well to hit them multiple times. They've also done major upgrades to the website, which I'm hoping is going to go live in the next day or two, prior to the Site Selector magazine going out, so that when that hits, and hopefully it will drive business to the website will be up and running and looking great. We'll have a Google Analytics report following that campaign to see if that was successful. In addition to the marketing that Public Media helped us with, we started an education program. We've heard from Ulster County businesses, large and small, that that's what they would like help with. We particularly heard from the real estate community that other counties hold these quarterly breakfasts where they have time to network. And so we held the first quarterly breakfast in October. I think it's going to be the third Wednesday of the third week of the third month. So hopefully people will put it on their calendars as an ongoing event. But we had about 50 members of the real estate community, banking community, and shovel in the ground people. So architects and builders and I don't know if they specifically came, but I know we invited like the Kingston Blocks and the Exceptor Wood Products and the businesses that sell with the real estate community. We're all invited and about 50 people showed up. Larry Gottlieb, who is the president and CEO of HVEDC, the Hudson Valley Economic Development Corporation, spoke. And from what I understand, it was all received. We're planning the next one, the third Wednesday in January at Basings. They're just both at Basings. And we haven't publicized it yet, but I believe that Dan Friedman, who is the Dean of Engineering at CUNY New Paltz, is going to talk about 3D printing in the building community.
What is that?
I want to say January 21st. I need to confirm the date.
It's both the third.
The third Wednesday. I think it's the third Wednesday of the third week of at either 8 or 8:30 in the morning at Benson. And it's $20 a person, so it pays for itself. But I think that was really, we've got a lot of ideas and whatnot from that event, and we're looking forward to having that again. The other event that we hosted was a Spanish-speaking panel in Ellenville that also had a nice turnout. And we had Arnaldo over at MFDEC, Vivian Lopez from Maternal Insulin Health Network to talk about healthcare for small businesses. Janero Garcia, who's the owner of Gabby's Restaurant, who's a local business person, and also I think a pillar of that community. And what's that? And one other person who I can't think of right now, but there was four people in the past, and it went on and on and on for like more than an hour and a half, and I think it was very well received as well. The candidate was there and whatnot. So those are the two events that we've had so far. Arthur Zakowicz has just joined my staff, and he is putting together, he was with Cornell Cooperative. So he has a very varied resume. Most recently, he was with Cornell Cooperative as an educator. But before that, he was with Women's Wear Daily as a magazine in New York City, and he was in charge of their financial bureau. So he you know, really understands businesses' financial plans and financial statements, and he's got that whole background. He has an MSW, which is really useful for counseling and counseling businesses. He and he's an educator. And he's working right now to put together the next UTEDA meeting is December 16th, and I'm expecting he's going to present at that meeting a slate of programs, both live and webinars, for 2015. So I feel like for 2014, our goal was to get all the professional collateral together, the website, the brochures, and for 2015, we're making our plans now to target particular industries and go forward and continue to market externally as well as provide education programs internally.
Questions?
Are we able to ask questions about the breakdown of this, or you're not prepared?
Sure. No, you can ask whatever you'd like.
So I was just looking at like the breakdown of total cost of 122, 923, 93.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, you know, just for the edification of myself and the other committee members and my 8,000 constituents. So on your SWOT sessions and report, $7,500, like that was after time and materials, putting that together?
It was really, it wasn't much material at the time. We know, focus media hosted three sessions.
At those three sessions, I really expected them to be here. We had talked about this at our last meeting.
because some of the things that I'm interested in is just understanding their whole approach, the research they did, who was invited, what kind of people, just to get an understanding, and then how that plays into a developed strategy as a result of that input. I guess the component as it relates to transactions is what you need to do to get the website up, et cetera. But I got to believe that the research that came out of that informed the strategy that you're moving forward on, and that's what I thought we were going to have a conversation about.
Okay, so basically, who was included were business leaders, community leaders, nonprofits, people from nonprofits, and government.
And so was it a selected group?
Yeah.
Or they chose the people, or?
It was a combination. They brought people to the table. We suggested the people.
And was there anybody at the table that we had targeted or that we were in discussion of bringing them here who ended up not coming here for whatever reason?
You mean a new business? No.
Yeah. Okay.
That they weren't at the table. It was all people who have either knew, you know, it seems that there's a lot of people who were involved specifically with UTDC for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So education facilities, there are people from SUNY New Paltz as well as SUNY Ulster, as well as so all three of those were represented. And then there were, you know, a number of sort of Julie Kleiger, who I think is really well respected, and Glenn Sutherland and Tom Collins. Bankers. We have three commercial realtors, primarily in Ulster County. There are more, but three that primarily do commercial real estate, and at least two of them are at the table. Joe Deegan and Tom Collins. Brendan Burke from Shadowlands is there. We tried to be geographically diverse.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to be industry diverse. So we had manufacturers, bankers, realtors, the arts community. Ellen Pendergar from Mental Health Association was there. I remember specifically she brought a lot of interesting insights.
And healthcare was there?
I'm sure they were. I can't think off the top of my head who represented healthcare, but we really worked to get the industries, get small business, big business.
Agriculture.
Agriculture, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So it was a mix of all three of the, of all the,
so it's pretty much existing, not new business.
There was no new business.
And there was no attempt to reach out to any of the businesses that had approached us?
Not for this purpose, no. This was more to
get insight as to what reasons or what the decisions were as to why they didn't come. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's a great idea, but that wasn't part of it. But I mean, that's an excellent idea.
Okay.
And I could definitely tell, but the businesses that I'm working with, you know, I sort of have a sense.
Yeah.
But it's not a huge number, but which is why we need to do more attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say what really came out of those talks is that we have two excellent qualities that Ulster County really needs to highlight. And if you look at when we have the new brochure printed, it's like Ulster County, strategic location, exceptional quality of life. Like what came out of it is that there's a lot of strengths and like a lot of weaknesses, but we have a strategic location on Ulster County can reach, from Ulster County you can reach one third of the U.S. population and two thirds of Canada within a 1-day drive. We have the three freeway exits. We're close to two international airports. We have rail. And so that came out as a huge strength, and especially with Orange County filling up, that's a huge strength that we need to focus on, and our exceptional quality of life. I mean, everybody says they have a great quality of life. I just went to the Cornet Conference in D.C., and everybody says, but when you really start to look at it, they don't. Not as we have. I mean, we just have it. Four-season, people want to live here because, for those of you who don't know me, I could have lived anywhere in the world. My husband works from home, and we spent 15 months looking all over the place and looking in New Hope and Lambertville and Connecticut and North Jersey. And so, you know, I could have lived, and we moved here to New Falls because of the quality of life. And so, you know, I get that, and I talk to people all the time. You know, there's people who have been here forever, born and raised, and, you know, they're here for a lot of other reasons. But a lot of people move here because they're rock climbers, and they want to be, you know, rock climbing in the spring and the summer and snowshoeing in the winter. And so what we got out of this class was that, you know, there's sort of a list of things that Elster County is great at, but those are the students we need to focus on. And so that's what we're going forward with.
So, that was just a quick question I had. I'm sorry. So, in terms of marketing and PR, the $5,700 per month for 7 months, can you just give me like an estimate, like an average, like it would be an average, how many hours per month in terms of like work hours do you think go into that?
I don't know. I don't know how many people they have behind the scenes. I talked to Josh Summers, who's the president, and I also talked to Whitney Bowers and Bill Madden, you know, multiple times a day, a week. But when they're designing something, they have a graphic design team. They're making a video for us right now. I don't know how many people are working on the video. I don't know.
The Facebook ad campaign at $1,333.71, do you know what that's based on? Is it like number of hits or?
It was about 200 and something. I thought it was about 500 a month.
Since the total was listed, 1,333.71.
Right. So
it's broken down pretty nicely here.
All I know with the Facebook is that we started having with about 90 Facebook friends and worked about 1,000. So over the course of a few months, it seemed to be really successful for us, and I'm hoping that we can do it again.
And then the printing cost of $29,654 to postcards and printing costs. Do you have any idea like how many postcards they sent out with that?
So we haven't done that yet. It's going to be for the Site Selector magazine. The ad is running in the November issue, which should be, it hasn't come out yet, but it should be coming out any day now. And following that, we'll be buying a list. My recollection is it's about 7,000 or so, and we're going to be doing two mailings.
Okay, so 7,000 postcards.
Times two.
So included in that 29 is the buying the list, spent, you know, the outreach to the folks on
there. Site Selection is different. That's a different category than what I'm thinking. That's 9,177 for the ad. But
that's it, right. That's the ad. Then you rent the list, and you can do 2 hours of the list.
And then the one last question I had was regarding the $10,000 expenditure for the video production cost. That's for essentially like time and products, like, you know, what goes into
right.
That.
That's a subcontract with Ellen Bogan, and so they're still filming right now. I keep giving them names of people to interview.
Okay.
Again, we're trying to do a farm. It seems that Elster County farmers are particularly shy. We had a tourism with Nina Smiley, manufacturing, education. We're actually shooting extra video footage in the hopes that we can make multiple videos. We only have the money in the budget this year for one.
But the website?
For the website. And for YouTube and Vimeo and to try to get it out in as many different places as we can. But there is a special place on the website for it. And then, so I expect there to be one finished video, but I expect there to be a lot of other footage. And then I'm hoping we can do in the future a video for, I would like to do one for technopreneurs. I think that that's a really important cluster that we can attract. I would like to do one for ag and food production. We've been doing really well in Ulster County with, the Farm to Table of Pleasant Valley Harvest. There's another company I learned about today that has cow chips and whatnot. And so I think that that's something that we could be has a lot of potential to grow. We're still throwing around ideas. I'm not going to say like we're 100% going to do these, but I would like to do more videos that, and I've learned so much about marketing, not just from Focus Media, but from a number of other companies in Ulster County. And, you know, the touch points, the touch them in multiple different ways, and so having the videos on YouTube and on Vimeo and, you know, all these different places that they would look if they were considering coming here.
Any other questions?
I'll move the question.
Okay. All right. Again, on 373, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you. 392, setting a policy offering discounted USAC fares for veterans.
Yeah.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 406 authorizing continuation of agricultural district number 4.
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
The EPA review, those are the towns.
Automatically
moved up, right? Correct. There were, I think, 13 properties that moved collectively from all the towns.
Jim, do you know how many, it says district number 4 in listing, so do you know how many districts there are?
I believe it's 5.
Oh, okay. Oh, Dennis?
Five. Did I get that right? Yeah, they're about a little over 70-some thousand acres.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool. All right.
Next year we'll review which district.
I think we go to 3. I'm not sure.
Okay.
We go to 3.
So that's done every 8 years?
Every 8 years.
Okay.
And it's just to give kudos to Dennis on my staff here and look at the town of Ulster was in it. They go out, they have information on every property. I mean, the one that was removed from Ulster is no longer farming. It was converted to a 3-family. You know, it should have been removed. It's quite a process.
And you realize
are there the landowners responsible for if they're no longer farming or notifying us?
What ends up happening under the statute, we have to send the landowners that are proposed to be removed from the district certified letters that are proposing to remove the district. And so they get certified letters and they have an opportunity to respond to the certified letters.
So let me rephrase my question. Let's say they got certified, they're designated ag and they're getting the discount, right?
Well, not all properties in the district essentially get agricultural exemptions.
Okay.
Sorry.
I mean, Jim, you supply paperwork every year to get your own money.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, and then it's when we take it, now the modification is that we go through at the county level and make the modification. Recommendations that goes to the Farmland Protection Board. I sit on the Farmland Protection Board by title, as does Mr. Maloney, legislator Maloney. And then what ends up happening is that when the Farmland Protection Board makes its recommendations, those recommendations, whether projects to be removed, is also recommendations, by the way, you can make recommendations to add parcels to the district as well. When we make those recommendations, we have to notify those landowners by certified mail, so we certify mail those, and they have an opportunity essentially to object, usually it's a public hearing stage, but the legislature holds a public hearing. Once the district is recommended for adoption or for continuation in this case with modification, which is what the legislature is being asked to do, it will not potentially, it still requires the Commissioner of Agriculture to act. So the Commissioner of Agriculture would act on your recommendation, and that's finally was certified the continuation of the district.
And yearly, there's that the meeting with the people that want to try to get included into the...
On an annual basis, the legislature has established a March 1 to March 30th, a 30-day period to do additions to the district, which is different from a district review. Believe it or not, you can only get out of the district every 8 years. You can get in on it, not
annually. And believe me,
but annually you're looking at who gets credit and who doesn't.
No. It's
a great discussion because just being included in the ag district does not
automatically mean you get the credit.
Correct.
Unless you're farming.
That's right. Yeah, then you have to apply at an assessor's office and then we verify your farming.
And in the past, I know there's been a couple of defaults that were...
You have to sign affidavits.
Yeah.
You have to have the leases for lands that are part of your operation that you don't own.
Yeah, the one property near the New Falls area, for a while, was coming up like every year.
Woo! It was the wine property.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was even very easy. Well, everybody was So, okay, any other discussion?
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thanks. 412, approving the execution of contract amendment in excess of $50,000, New World Systems Department of Informational Services.
So moved.
Jim, second?
Second.
Okay.
Continuation of their contract.
Yeah, this is what?
just the centralization of the copiers and all that. This is information.
This information. This is what she was here. That
Sylvia Wolf was here.
That your
one is
the contract is attached.
This one provides support and upgrades for the Aegis public safety software and Trax interface for the sheriff's department.
Okay, and it's broken down every couple of months in the back of that contract. Mm-hmm. Other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any new business? Old business? Yes.
I have just two announcements on something that the Transportation Council is doing. We're going to hold two public meetings on transportation projects. One in the city of Kingston on a project that's called Bringing Back Broadway and Transportation Project for the Board of Purchases. That's going to be held on the 19th. There's going to be two concurrent sessions, two subsequent sessions, exactly like one begins at 3 o'clock and the other one begins at 7 o'clock. And the project is essentially a quarter study on the Broadway corridor to look at circulation and wayfinding with an idea that the city of Kingston now has about $4 million to implement some of the improvements here. It's been a great partnership so far. We have an advisory committee that's set up that is working there. We dropped off information. I think we emailed the entire legislature so they were aware of it. It's going to be held at the 721 Media Center. The other one, which has not gone out, probably going to go out either tomorrow or Monday, is on the 20th of this month in the town of Rosendale. We're also going to be doing we are in the process of doing a project called Finding Rosendale. This is, again, a circulation wayfinding plan that's focused on trying to tie the business district together with all the recreational opportunities that are in Rosendale itself. That one, I believe, begins at 7 o'clock and it's going to be held in the Rosendale Community Center. Thank you. So I invite the legislature and members of the committee to attend. We go through the Rosendale is just sort of an introduction to the project to the community. So it's not going to be very much participatory. But the Kingston project is going to be extremely participatory. We've done some of our initial assessments on Kingston. We have a pretty good sense of what the corridor is. We've done traffic studies on the corridor already. And it's a very interesting, fairly robust program. We are also in the process and continuing to move forward on something that we're doing in the town of and village of New Falls. It's an intermodal study for New Falls. We are about three quarters of the way through that project now. We do not have scheduled the next public meeting for that, but we'll be scheduling it soon. We've narrowed some of the initial 8 or 10 sites that we've identified. The TAC has been working on how those sites, how the three sites that the TAC has settled on in terms of where they think the intermodal settlement works the best. We've been working with an architectural firm that is from New Falls, the Rickard Fondry Architecture, as well as our consultants as Dean Associate, and a transit consultant, which is Nelson Nygaard, on this project. So we should have planning level walk-up units coming out soon. We should have at least discussion of the three alternative sites that we looked at, what we can build on those sites, and then ask the community which one would you prefer. It probably will probably advance at least two of the sites to a much more detailed design work. No one has ever attended a design charrette and workshop. These are fairly interesting.
This is for
one.
If you could just give me just an overview.
Sure. The Rosendale. Let me just sign this. Yeah. The Rosendale project came about, the Kingston project came about because we're going to be implementing, we did a study on the I-587 corridor intersection
He came up with a preferred alternative, which is a roundabout at that location. The city adopted a resolution in support of that. The Department of Transportation essentially put that project on the tip. It's going to start its design process and move forward for construction in either 2016 or 2017. As a result of that, when we worked with those consultants, we took a look down Broadway and we said, this should be the first of a study that looks at Broadway. Broadway has a complete streets community committee. It also has a climate change committee. And there's been a lot of effort and taste to essentially look at Broadway and say, what can we do on Broadway to make it more hospitable for pedestrians and bicyclists? In the vernacular of transportation officials, these are usually circulation and wayfinding plans. It's difficult to find your way around. It takes just a mishmash of signs through there. And we're also looking at some pedestrian safety issues. So we've done a whole host of transportation counts, what we call vehicle counts on Broadway. We then looked at those counts and decided that we could move forward with a consultant study. The consultant did turn movement counts. We've run synchro models. I think Kirk knows what I'm talking about. We've run a synchro model on the border. And now we're looking at essentially being able to come back to the community and say, fairly wide corridor in areas. You've got almost 90 feet in some instances on this corridor where we've got to narrow it down to one lane to go back up again. So we're looking at that. We're going to be able to say what changes we can make that we can accommodate bicycles and pedestrians and what that will do to the traffic stream on the corridor relative to the corridor's ability to carry it. We're going to look at different treatments. A lot of graphic work is going to be done with respect to this. And then once we sort of settle in and start to say, these are the things that we think make the most sense to do, the city of Kingston has about $4 million in something called the Transportation Alternatives Program Awards and an ICERTA Award. And we think that the city will start to use pieces of its funding for those projects to essentially use the planning process that we started to begin the implementation program. And we know that the city is looking at synchronization of its lights, its signals through there. Because we run the synchro model at growth scale, we'll be able to tell the city, if you synchronize the lights, this is the anticipated change in time frame down the corridor. We did a travel time survey in the corridor that looked at congestion where it occurs in the corridor. And so we've been working with the mayor's office. The TAC consists of business folks on Broadway. The arts and culture folks, people from UPAC are involved in that. The mayor's office, the city economic development office, my office is involved. It's been about 15 or 16 members of the transportation advisory committee. We always establish, when we do these types of projects, we always establish a transportation advisory committee consisting of local governments and other interested parties in those corridors. We're out there now, if you go out the corridor now, we're out actually putting signs up on for the event in the various businesses. We had about 1,000, somewhere between 500 to 700 likes on our Facebook page. The Facebook page went up about 2 days ago or 3 days ago already with regard to this. So we anticipate that we should get a fairly good turnout. We're also using some of the church members to sort of look at the Latino community and some of the minority communities there to make sure that they attend because they're critical in this quarter. And it's been really good. The Rosendale project began because the town of Rosendale approached the Transportation Council and said, we'd really like to know how to make the connections between our new rail trail and the business district, and we have a lot of other things that we're thinking about doing, the Route 213, Route 32 intersection, et cetera. And they asked us if we would help them do a study. The Transportation Council agreed. It became part of what we call a Unified Plan Work Program. The study began early this summer, and we're now going to one of the first public meetings. We've been working with the TAC behind scenes. We have something to show the committee at this particular point in time. We've done all of the baseline work in terms of where we think we can go, what are the issues out there. We've done some traffic counts, although not a lot of traffic counts here. We're really looking to do ways to look at capital improvements that would allow people from the rail trail to essentially get down to the business district. We give those folks that are traveling into the business district a sense of where they are and how to get to the rail trail as well as get to other recreational opportunities. And that project should finish up, I would think, by March. They should finish up.
The intermodal project has been a bit longer in New Falls. It's always an interesting community to work in. We had our first public meeting to discuss the intermodal project, and one of the reasons that got started was there's an amazing amount of transit use in the village and town of New Falls, both from residents as well as from the college students. Trailways approached us, as did the Department of Transportation and the bus station and trailways. There were trailways used in the center of the village that actually sold. Trailways became very much concerned that they had no lease and no indication about the continuity of that bus station as a bus station, and no lease exists between the operator and the current owner of the station. And so they asked us to take a look at alternatives. We programmed the money and began that work last year. We identified somewhere in the neighborhood of about 10 to 12 sites, none really well, none really good sites. There's no clear winners here. But one of the things that we always do is we always look at the existing sites. We had the first public meeting. We reached out to the current property owner to make sure he was aware of what's going on. We were not well received. He didn't understand why we were doing the study. We had a bit of an interesting conversation the first public meeting, but it was clear that one of the things that the community really wanted was a walkable transit station in its downtown area. Also clear that presents challenges to trailways in terms of trying to get in and out of the site, and challenges to signalization and challenges to meeting future transit opportunities up there. We have a PAC that consists of the mayor and his representative, the supervisor, her representative, as well as businessmen from the community. The community has its own something called the Transportation Committee. We have representatives from that on it and representatives from the college. We have worked with the college, the program funds for the college to essentially expand their bus operations on campus. They've done improvements on campus for us with some money. Unfortunately, the college, in looking at that, the college did went ahead and didn't work without going through the necessary federal process. You know what that meant? And then we couldn't give them the money. So they completed all the work on campus, potentially the parking lot on the other side of Route 32 with their own funds. The good thing is that actually left us a substantial amount of money for park and ride facilities that we could use elsewhere. We had programmed some park and ride money for the Route 2 for the Sorbonne area and for the Kingston roundabout area. So we'll be able to use that money. I'll talk about that in a minute, but I want to finish up where we were on the intermodal study. So we've now narrowed it down to about three sites. We're focused in on about three sites, the existing site, a site on Route 32, and a site actually the Village Hall DPW site, working with the community. We're doing design work on that right now to see what alternatives come up with and how they'll work. At the end of this, we hope that we'll get buy-in and support from the community and get a project sponsor. I think what we're looking at is some of the low-cost initiatives, which are what we do with the existing site. How can we make that work and make it work? And what can we do in terms of investments that would move an intermodal center forward that could meet their needs, say, to 2040 or 2050? And that far ahead. Trailways growth in those areas is about 1% per year. They run a ton of transit through there. And even in Kingston, they brought about 450,000 people through the city of Kingston transit facility through there. So we've had good working relationships with UCAT, great working relationships with Trailways on those issues. On the park and ride issues, we programmed funds for Saugerties, and we programmed funds for the city of Kingston. The town of Ulster, out around the traffic circle, there's about 76 spaces out here now. It runs over 100% capacity. We do capacity checks on these every year, and about every month now we're doing capacity checks on it. We anticipate that the department is going through preliminary design work, and we've reviewed some of the design for about 118 some spaces out there. So we anticipate we'll see construction on that hopefully by late summer, maybe even soon. And in Sorreys, we have the Sorreys folks right opposite the existing, if you're coming southbound on the thruway right opposite that, on the southbound exit on the thruway, there's an informal park and ride facility there now, holds about 10 or 12 cars. Somewhat full, but really, really bad. Buses can't use it. So we work with Trailways and the department design work. We anticipate that we'll be able to do about 47 to 50 cars along the Route 32 frontage there. And we work with the town to design that so that when it gets built, it can be used for a bus drop-off area. If there are any additional concerts on the site. We want to make sure that we could accommodate and not interfere with the area that they were that we were using actually was used for access to portions of the site for some of the other drop-offs, and we wanted to make sure that we could we wouldn't interfere with that. Had an interesting meeting with the town to make sure that they were on board, and now we're moving forward for the design work on that, and that should start as well. And as you know, we're also working with the department relative to the new 213 bridge. Programming some funding for that, and we have a number of other projects that are ongoing on the programming side. Town of Ellenville, Village of Ellenville finished Acre Street Bridge. We programmed that funding, so the transportation capital is fairly busy. We have another, I'd say another three or four projects that are probably going to start prior to the end of the year. One of them is a long range transportation plan. The legislature just is going to be considered a contract with respect to that, and that was with RSG Group. That's a fairly large study. It's a requirement for update our long-range transportation plan every 5 years. The current one was done about 5 years ago. We need to have that adopted by the council by September. Otherwise, we've got to follow some of our federal issues. That's a fairly significant outreach effort for the transportation council to do that work.
Question. Go ahead, Jim. Then you can.
I'll ask a question, then I'll say something else. Quick question: in the expansion of the parking ride, the guys were out there today surveying and doing a lot of different things. Is there any taking of the parcel in front of it? I have somebody.
We're aware of that. The answer is no.
Okay.
We're actually hoping that we could think about taking that parcel, but. We were able to get all the spaces we need without it. I was kind of coveting that parcel and having a conversation with you folks about a visitor center,
but it didn't work out. I was hoping I could get the state to spend some money for that. But one of the things we did do, just so you know, this is the nuances of federal regulations. We're trying to make sure that they build a sidewalk so that we can get to the quick check.
Right.
You can use the old, you know, if you've been out there, quick check just right next to where the park and ride facility is. And we're discussing how to operate that sidewalk and make sure that that built as part of the park and ride facility. And I-587 is a federal interstate that where they took access rights. So there's no access off 587. ISOD is telling us that access means we can't even allow access. We can break them. It was broken. Was broken for a transportation related purpose. So we were able to break it to put the park and ride facility in. NISOD is telling us that we can't allow them to essentially walk from the park and ride facility. If they do it sort of informally, it's okay, but we can't actually build a sidewalk to the edge of the property and then ask to build a sidewalk up there. So there's going to be people climbing over snow banks. I don't know what they're going to do with respect to that. But it was an interesting discussion with regard to that. But
then last thing, everyone, I think we should commend our planner who just the other day, a celebration in this room. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't invited, but that's quite all right. But Dennis,
I wasn't invited.
40 years in Ulster County.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, actually,
it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. That's scary, Dennis.
Well, first, I'd say that you probably remember every detail of this 40 years. But,
yeah.
That was a great all-inclusive report to the committee, and I want to tell you that I very much appreciate it. I have two questions related to it. The first is the railway station in East Falls still at risk to continuation, or did they work something out with the new owner?
Well, a couple of things. One is, I don't think it's fair to say it was ever at risk. I think when I characterized the struggle, I was nervous about it.
Without a lease.
Without a lease. Yeah. And it still does not have a lease. There's still not a lease. To that extent, there's a risk there. The other extent is that given the location of the property and size, there's not a lot of other uses for the property. It's not like it's going to make more money as a, you know, an aqua. So
there has to be a tear down to rebuild.
Yeah, but it's a pretty small piece of property to think about a tear down or rebuild. But what we'd like to do is we'd actually like to think about trying to figure out a way to put that individual under some sort of lease. There's a technical term for it where private-public partnerships on the transit board goes through something called a capital cost contract. And we can do that. He could basically go in and rebuild his facility. We could pay for it for federal money, and then we would put him under a longer-term lease. We need a project sponsor to do that, which is why we hope that the village and the town come together and end up being a project sponsor. We did a similar study, by the way, in Kingston. We spent a significant amount of effort in Kingston trying to figure out where to put the existing facility in Kingston relative to its ability to handle some of the transit demands. There's an enormous amount of traffic through that transit station in Kingston. And that, again, is not owned by travelers. It's owned by an individual that is associated with Trailways, but it's not corporate ownership. So that corner could disappear as well, although probably not in current ownership. I mean, the owner of Trailways is his mother who owns the site.
And my second question is on the Berkeley corridor.
Yeah.
Obviously, the stands benefit from a reworking of the traffic flow sensitivity to the population of pedestrians. And also about humor there. To your knowledge, is there any focus on it by the city of Kingston in terms of the land use side of it?
Yes. There's a great deal of focus. There's a couple of things that come out with regard to this. One is that the city's in the middle of its comprehensive plan update, so they're considering our project along with their updated comprehensive plan. Comprehensive plan, and they've asked me to sit on their comprehensive plan committee, so I've helped the city move through some of the comprehensive plan work that's out there. They're considering a couple of things. One is, as you should know, the mayor has something called the Deep Initiative, which is the technology corridor for Broadway. The other is that they are now forming an arts and cultural committee, an arts district in the Broadway corridor as well, in and around the UPAC area. So they're taking a real good hard look at Broadway itself relative to the land use issues and some of the other issues associated with that.
In sync with the transportation.
In sync with transportation stuff.
In particular in that area too, there's no food services for the people that live there. That big issue that came out with Cornell and
there's
some of
the whole issue is some of the food desert issues is what comes up with regard to that. That's been out there for a while now. But you're right, there's not a lot of local food or healthy foods in that
quarter. A lot of fast food.
Yeah, a lot of fast food. A couple of thoughts with regard to that.
Yes.
A couple of thoughts.
Do you want to answer that?
The preferred alternative, we conducted a three-day design charrette when we did the project. I think it was in 2012, maybe even earlier than that. And the preferred alternative that came out of that was a roundabout. And the roundabout was essentially that project was adopted in a support resolution by the legislature, by the town common council and city of Kingston. So clearly the community has got together and said that a roundabout makes some sense up there. The other thing is that
from DOT's perspective, unless they've changed, you could probably come with her. DOT's perspective with respect to rebuilding intersections are roundabout first. They have a roundabout first policy, and roundabout doesn't work, then they move to something else. In this instance, we've shown that a roundabout does work out. If you go on our website and take a look at it, there's some really great renderings of what you can do. And we went a step further with that study. We didn't just look at the intersection. One of the other things that we did look at was when we looked at I-587, which is Chandler Drive, we actually took a look at some of the capacity of Chandler Drive, and it's only about 18,000 cars a day to use Chandler Drive, and it's a four-lane split interstate. It is the shortest interstate in the U.S. At the two Mesa station. And the consultant suggested, why don't you give up the one whole side of the interstate and convert it to Portland? So that was this buried in the report, but it was actually a discussion as to whether or not we should do that. But it was there. The other thing we did look at is we looked at something called super blocks, which is as you concentrate, as the grid system starts to disappear, you concentrate traffic at intersections, and we looked at the plaza itself. And one of the things that we said is that if we could ever break the interstate barrier, to start creating a grid system down at the plaza and reinvent the plaza as nature. Start to think about reinventing. And there's some drawings that are going on. The presentation's on our website. There's some drawings that basically show what we can do to a plaza by recreating it as a main street, to look at it as a main street. And that, you know, starts to take a look at the future of the plaza, not today, but the future of the plaza 10 to 15 or 20 years from now. It was a very interesting study. We've done an uptown Kingston study. We just completed the work out on Voices Lane in the town of Ulster. We did a rail safety study out in Voices Lane in the town of Ulster. We're a small MPF. There's two staff, you know, there's two staff in my office that are dedicated to the transportation planning. But we're a small MPO, and we're now the third smallest in the state of New York. There's 14 in the state of New York. City Kingston has about 53,000 people in an urbanized area. We're the only small MPO that's part of something called the Transportation Management Area, TMA. So we became an MPO because of the urbanized area in the city of Kingston, which is about 53,000 people. But if you look to our south, New Paltz, Highland, Shawangunk, or the Platte Hill are part of something called a larger transportation management area, which is part of the urbanized area called the Poughkeepsie Dutchess urbanized area, Poughkeepsie-Newburgh urbanized area. There's over 200,000 people in that urbanized area. So once you get the 200,000 threshold, you have all kinds of different federal regulations that apply to us, which wouldn't apply to small MPO. So we're the only MPO in the only MPO in New York State that is both a small MPO of just over 50,000 and also something called a TMA MPO, which has broader responsibility. So we have to do congestion management plans. We have to interface with the three other MPOs in the region, which is Dutchess County and Orange County, who also have their own individual MPOs. We're very unique in that sense that there's not one MPO that represents the whole region. There's three MPOs, all situated in the planning departments of the various counties. And we operate very well together. We, you know, the planning directors and the transportation divisions of the three MPOs and the three planning departments operate all the time together. And we have to pass joint resolutions in order to move money around. For example, we move somewhere in the neighborhood on an annual basis. We're moving about $19 million worth of transit money on an annual basis between all of the transit providers. This MPO subsidizes the federal funds. We subsidize trailways to about $1.4 million a year for their operation. We're responsible essentially to make sure that trailways provide those services within the county. We provide money for UCAT. Well, we move money so that UCAT can stay in business. So we're running a fairly robust transit operation or transportation planning operation with a very small shop right now.
but it's very rewarding. A lot of my planners are, we call them Canadians. They're all from Buffalo. But it's a very rewarding thing to do.
Very good.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I know you guys said that to me. Okay. Motion to adjourn then. Herb, second. Lynn, all in favor? Opposed? Thank you. Okay. Be careful out there, folks.
Yeah.